I would say my experience at the shitty Staten Island Zoo is better than Disneyland. Right. And that's my recommendation. Instead of going to Disneyland, get your ass to Staten Island and go to the zoo, and it's not even going to take you all day, and which also, is good because you're going to want to get the hell out of Staten Island.
You also just called it the shitty zoo. So go to the shitty zoo. You'll have a better time than Disneyland.
I was wondering about that because you were born and raised in New York, right?
Yeah, I grew up on Staten Island.
Right.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
You both just went, oh, okay. But what is your concept of Staten? I'm always so, I never know.
I didn't have anything behind it. It was more like,
okay, just a polite
thing, but I really don't.
That's actually pretty perfect for Staten Island. Oh, okay. A polite acknowledgement, then we move on.
Is it the suburbs? Like, is it the New York suburbs? Is that kind of what it is? Like, it's not the big buildings bit.
It's one of the boroughs or no?
Is it one of the boroughs? Okay,
so yeah, you're like, but that's more like,
but it's the suburban area. It's like homes and family life.
It is.
Life
it's kind of like if Brooklyn were newer and shittier.
Right? Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, but did you ever have time?
Because it's a suburb, but it's a suburb of Manhattan.
Right.
But it's also very provincial because it's an island. So there are people on Staten Island that even though you can see Manhattan,
they don't travel.
They just never go there.
Oh, right. And God. As somebody growing up there, and you always had ambitions of acting, did you think that your big move would be to get to the
oh,
city?
Oh, totally.
Get
I used
to that
to,
city in the distance.
I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in Manhattan, I would be in the city and taking acting classes and then in the evening I would take the ferry from the city and I'd be on the ferry pulling, and it's really very beautiful when you're, you know, looking at the city and you're pulling away. And I used to think, someday I'm not going to have to be on this fucking boat I'm going to live in that
I don't have
concrete
to take,
jungle.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool.
And instead, Ugly Betty called and you went, all right, fuck it. Turns out I'm going to the sunshine.
Yeah, yeah. Which I thought was just going to be temporary.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You thought it was after just for the show, and then you were gonna come back to Manhattan or Staten Island or like kind of. Like...
At that point, I lived in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay,
in Park Slope,
okay, nice.
Which is actually a very nice.
Yeah, area. Yeah, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
I still consider myself like temporarily here.
Do you? And it's been over a decade.
At some point, my tenure here will be
over. Well, since you're a true New Yorker,
I'm guilty of doing that too. I still feel my apartment is. I told myself this is my first apartment in LA, and here I am 5 years later. I'm like, I'm still in it. I'm like, it's one of those things of, I appear to be in year 20 of my 5-year plan. Yeah. I think it's going along nicely.
And since you're like a true New Yorker, like, what do you prefer? Like, because now you live here for a while. I mean,
it's, you know, they're so incomparable. It's like, it's apples and oranges, you know, mm-hmm. Like here, the weather, of course, I think that's the main thing. And also you can be, there's mountains nearby, there's beaches.
Yeah.
But New York, like, I prefer the culture in New York. I liked, when I used to live there, like, being on the subway and being mm-hmm. a part of it and people watching and all of the culture. Not that L.A. doesn't have culture, but it's it doesn't have the architecture. It's not L.A. is, like, land of the strip mall.
Also, the grit of New York, you can romanticize it. Sometimes these cities, like, I lived in London for a long time, so to me, London was, like, my New York. But it can be dirty, but it's also almost a nice dirty. Whereas in L.A., when you're in a dirty bit of L.A., it's fucking gross.
Yeah,
it's not spread out. It's not spread out.
That's so well put. The dirt and grime of Manhattan is has a romantic quality to it. In L.A., it just sucks. There's no getting around it.
Yeah, it smells extra pungent, and it sticks to you for an extra day. What the hell's going on, man?
Well, that is true. I do like, I'm the same. I've never lived in New York, but I was like, I would love to live at least for like a year, because I do every time I go there to go do shows, and I love the energy that you're walking and you're like in the, you know, in the subway and watching, you know, and people watching, and then it just gives you that energy that you gotta move. Here it's kind of like, well, you can just stay in your place and don't move at all. If, you know, so it's like, there's just no reason. Like,
And New York sort of forces you to make shit happen.
Yes.
Whereas in LA, it's so, you know, sprawling and you can sort of just sort of exist.
You lose your ambitions. You're like, look, these homeless people are outside in the sunshine. They seem to be having a good time. What's the worst that can happen if I continue to roll the dice in this town?
Yeah, which I always go like for those homeless people, I go like, which one was the one that was like, that came with a dream too? And kind of like, they're like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna like chill here. You know, that's to me when I see the film, I'm like, at least that gives me a little push of like, I gotta keep working. You know that? I don't want to end up here doing this shit.
Again, we have a serious issue with the homeless in this city. Not to make light of it or anything, but...
But no, it's everywhere. I mean,
I actually just saw a great documentary that I have to recommend on Netflix called... I think it's called Lead Me Home, about homelessness, and it covers mostly Los Angeles and San Francisco, and... It's crazy living in Los Angeles and you see the homeless problem everywhere. Yeah. This documentary was so good because it features like a couple of different homeless people, and you see, you learn the stories of how they wound up there, and you sort of let it shit. And it's so, the cinematography is amazing. There's no narration.
Oh.
Which is always a good sign, I think, for a documentary. And you see the humanity. It's upsetting.
Okay.
It's very upsetting. But but like while I was watching it, I was thinking, oh shit, this is an you just have that feeling that this is an important documentary, and not and it's just very good. So I'm
okay. I'll watch it because it makes you understand more what they're going through. Right?
Yeah, and it's also like really beautifully shot, and it's you know what? I don't even think I can pitch it in a way that does it justice. I'll just leave it at.
What's it called again?
It was very compelling.
Lead me home.
Lead me home. Very compelling.
Well, that's a great reference for it. I mean,
Is there an ending? Like, because I'm always with the documentaries. Like, is there like a thing where, like, well, after 4 years, he's working.
Oh yeah, a little summary.
I will say that it ends in a way that's not unsatisfying, but it's also like, you know, it's also not like a feel good movie. So, But it does. But you know, it has. There's a like a glimmer of hope or just sort of humanity.
Sounds like a good little empathetic lesson for the. You know, for what people go through.
That's a good one to watch when you're by yourself.
Which I have plenty of experience.
Maybe I'll watch it like right now that I'm gonna be gone for alone. I mean, like I can, you know, those are the ones.
Next time you're like, screw it. Well, it's the homeless people that look like they're having a good time.
I do,
buddy. I have. So what I want to ask you. So a professionally trained actor, growing up in New York, then Ugly Betty calls, and that's your move to California. And you did think it was temporary, but when you get cast in a show like that and you have to move across country, what kind of provisions does a company usually provide you? Like, do you come to Los Angeles going, I'll live in a hotel for a while because this is just temporary, or do you bring roommates with, do you build an entourage instantly?
I had just gotten married. We just moved out here and rented a place. There was no, you mean provisions that like the studio provides?
Yeah, like sometimes if the studio is like, you know, we'll put you up in the hotel for the month.
No, maybe I should have asked for
that. You can demand those kind of things.
But no, it's just sort of, just moved out here, looked for a place, and started renting a place. So nothing, I got nothing special.
And then all of a sudden you become anchored here.
Yeah. Well, right when that ended, I wound up doing a recurring thing on The Big Bang Theory.
Right.
And then that eventually turned into a series regular thing. And then that show just ended like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID struck.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I'm still here temporarily. As soon as this COVID thing
I'm sure.
We get handled, I'm
going.
Move back. I'm going back. No, I think I'm here.
For
a while. It's just, you know. I was gonna say it's easier to be in the business here, because you could be in the room. But really, COVID changed so much of that. Now everything is you're self-taping.
You're even having callbacks or producer sessions in Zoom, which is kind of like...
Which is such a crazy
It is a weird... Well, the worst is when you're like, you're done with it and you and then you're just in your house. Because at least, you know, like when I audition, you know, you go to the thing and then you go like, at least you're driving going like, what the fuck did I do? Or like, at least you go get a coffee or like... But then you, it's even more sad when you're just in your living room going like, what the fuck happened?
Especially in this era of online gigs, because as comedians, we've done a few of these online gigs during the pandemic, and they're not, you know, you're not getting the best response at the best of times, even when they leave a few people's mics on so that they can give you some laughs or whatever. But still, exactly what you're talking about. When you're done, you're like, okay, good night. And then you're just like, where the fuck do I go? Walk to my kitchen?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You're just, you're in it. Could you imagine, like, dying if you die on stage? Or like, it's not even dying on stage. It's just not being, it's not having the best experience. Yeah. You know, it's just a mediocre
experience.
And then you have to sit there in your gig. But yeah, this is where it all happened.
Yeah.
Right here. Right through that.
That's what it's worth. I mean, like, I think it's good in one way, but it's also kind of like, you know, you want to also feel, at least see, you know, I think the energy that you feel in the room.
Well, it just, it's got to be harder for you guys for doing
stand-up. I mean, for stand-up.
It's all about the feedback.
I mean, call it like stand-up. I call it kind of like we're doing a podcast.
Yeah.
And you're, I mean, that's how I kind of like now do it. Because I learned to do it, obviously, during COVID.
Monologue.
I mean, it is. I mean, you cannot have the quickness. You cannot feel like, because you don't know if like, are they listening? Are they paying attention? Are they are they getting me? Is it the connection, the delay? You know, it's all this stuff that you're like, and sometimes.
So has it really shaped your whole like process and the way you deliver comedy?
Not for me, just while to do like Zoom shows and stuff like that. With stand-up now, like once, you know, now that I'm doing it all the time, it's like, it's just. You know,
you're back and doing it live.
Shows are coming.
Yeah,
back
all the shows.
Are
they?
Do they require people to be vaccinated?
Yeah, like here, like I perform here, and like you have to be, like all in LA. I think you have to be most rooms. Yeah. You have to be like
in some places. Back. The audience still have to wear masks. I think it was Milwaukee or Minnesota. I was in a couple weeks ago, and they're all still masked up in the venue.
Yeah,
I think Milwaukee.
I would like that. I'm very paranoid.
Me too. I mean, that's why I didn't travel until I got my vaccine until like, you know, last year. And then, especially because all the only road gigs that were open were like in Texas or like Florida or whatever. So I'm like, like that even more. I mean, I want to get vaxxed for that. So, and even my first trip was actually to DC to do it in Virginia. And like, and even in the plane, I was like, you know, it was packed. You know, everyone was wearing the mask, but there was one guy next to me like, having a, you know, eating a cookie, but he was like, and then he was like, you know, and then, you know, like he had the thing for it. But at that point, I'm going like, well, I'm glad that I'm back because I felt protected. Yeah. Oh, if not, I would have been like, oh, I couldn't have done this at all.
The whole restaurant thing, too, is so crazy where you go in and when you're standing by the thing where it says a hostess will seat you. You know, you've got the mask on, but then, like, you bring you to your table and you go through the invisible magical barrier and you're allowed to just sit there with your mask off and you're, like, 10 feet away from the beer. It's so crazy.
Yeah, when once that happened, I was like, it was me and my fiancé. We were going, like, if it's not outside, I'm not eating there. Like, what's the point? Like, I'm not going to eat inside to be, like, because it was, it felt ridiculous to be, like, well, here and here, no. Like, outside, unless it's, like, okay, there's air flowing. I'm, like, if you're there, I just felt safe. But, like, the inside one didn't make sense to me either, you know. And, like, you're sitting there.
I completely agree. And it's really weird when you're at these hybrid venues now and the inside is more packed. And you're, like, why isn't everybody making the smart decision to be out here in the fresh air right now?
But, and then, so I was reading that you have four brothers? Three brothers, so four including you. So I wanted, like, when you were growing up, like, any family trips that you would do, like, what is there one that you remember that was like...
Oh, yeah, because in New York, by the way, I tried to go camping in New York once on a family holiday from Nova Scotia, and you could only camp if you were from New York in this campsite that we went to. Yeah,
where?
It was only four New Yorkers.
Wow.
So we had driven in. Really? So I'm wondering if that's a thing in Staten
Island. How do they know
that
you weren't from New York?
I
probably our license plates and accents. I would guess.
I've never gone camping. Like sleeping outside.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never done that.
That is a way to sum up camp. That's pretty much. Yeah, that's right.
Well, you could do glamping. Have you done glamping? Have you considered glamping? That's. I like that too. I like. I'm not so big of a fan.
Where
of
you like stay in the woods during the day and then go to a motel or something?
No, glamping. I guess I haven't done it yet, but I guess it's like you. Could, it's like camping, but it's like you have like a nice cabin or nice room, whatever.
Yeah, and then like you're a like, motor home or more.
But it's got like Wi-Fi shit. You know, you got all this stuff. But then you're like, oh yeah, I'm outside, but you don't sleep outside.
Yeah. No, I haven't done that.
There's no amount of glamour that can make you want to sleep outside. So even if I tell you, I've got the nicest setup for you.
Yeah,
barbecue will turn the on. Just
true
like that.
Glamour for me is not having to go, and I don't want to be out in the woods, nor do I want to be in a trailer.
That's a true hypochondriac. Just... You don't like to be.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I mean, look, I guess, you know, compared to like New York City subway filth, I'll take nature, dirt.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I've just never gone camping. I don't know what to tell you guys.
I know. I never.
I don't think I've. Maybe when I was little, like this little camp, but nothing like I'm not a big fan also of like staying outside and like sleeping like I'll do it outside, but then I was like, all right, I want to go back to my hotel, like
I'm cool with that.
I mean, but you know, people, yeah, it's just the preferences. That's never been my thing. I mean, I'm a little also like, and it's not such a hypochondriac talk, but it's more about like I like. You know, sleeping good. You know
some
what I mean?
Creature or,
like,
comforts.
Yeah. So. But yeah. So any like trips when you were with your family, with your brothers growing up that you were like?
My parents were teachers and they had four kids. So we weren't going on a lot of fancy trips. Like I've never been to Disney World. Am I too far away?
I just thought I'd check them. Okay, maybe a little.
How can you even see in there?
I can see them. There's somebody there. Right.
Oh, yeah, I see hands.
So you went to Disney World?
No, I'm saying we didn't. Like, I've never been to Disney World.
Oh, really?
I don't even know what that's like. I've been to Disneyland, as an adult. So not having, this is my theory, is not having been to Disney World.
Yeah.
Right.
Which people love.
Yeah.
Like, going to Disneyland as an adult with zero nostalgia, because I never did it as a kid.
Yeah, you didn't have that.
I just didn't get it. I was like, maybe for a little kid, but this sucks as an adult. The only thing that I liked was the rides and attractions that were like holdovers that they just never got around to redoing.
Oh, and so like real classics.
Yeah, so it had like this real old like 50s like art style and kind of janky, and I thought that was really interesting. You know, like a Disneyland from a bygone era. Yeah. That was the only thing about it that I enjoyed, and not enough to hang out there all day and wait on endless lines.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, actually, my first trip to the U.S. was coming to Disney World.
That must have been amazing.
And it was like, I think I was like 8 or 9, you know, and like, that was the first thing that we did. So we went to Disney World, went to Epcot Center, you know, all the ones in Orlando.
Did it blow your mind as an 8-year-old?
I remember obviously it was fun. The thing that I remember the most is like we actually, my mom and my aunt, like they rented a motorhome so to drive from Miami to Orlando, like a little like, so that I remember that was cool because that wasn't a thing that in Venezuela we never had. Like my mom couldn't find the rental car, and we were like, so it was like, you know, it's at midnight because you went till midnight for the parade and the fireworks, and they were like looking for the rental car, and we couldn't really
Disney World
in the parking lot, and we're like, was it Goofy or was it Pluto?
Oh man,
or was it Mickey?
And
we remember
stupid character's
name. Around
that's
like
happened to me like that here in LA, probably at like Warner Brothers or something, one of those parking lots with the endless floors, and just If you forget where you parked, it's so traumatic.
Yeah.
When you get there and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And it's
I'm gonna have to wait for everybody to leave.
Yeah.
Well, we actually had to and then I think a security guard came and drove like with those little golf carts. I had to drive my mom around. Find the car. You
That's
know,
right.
Wow. I wonder how many times do you think that happens a day at Disney World? They probably employ people whose job it is to drive around and help people find
The golf cart guy. But what's your job over at Disney? I'm the golf cart guy. You know how there's at least one in every 100 people won't remember that they're parked.
I'd have to agree with you. I mean, I think Disneyland is definitely, it was original. So like Disney World is much better. Because I've been to Disneyland, I'm like, I haven't even been back to Disney World since that, but I think it's definitely just.
Yeah.
So you didn't go there as a kid, but did your parents take you somewhere and try to build it up like it was a Disneyland? Did they try to go, welcome to.
We would go to Manhattan. We would go to the zoo. And that was good. The zoo was great. Yeah. Even Staten Island doesn't even have a great zoo, but I would say my experience at the shitty Staten Island Zoo is better than Disneyland. And that's my recommendation. Instead of going to Disneyland, get your ass to Staten Island and go to the zoo. And it's not even going to take you all day, which is good because you're going to want to get the hell out of Staten Island. Yeah.
You also just called it the shitty zoo. So go to the shitty zoo. You'll have a better time than Disneyland. A ringing endorsement.
Are the animals at the Staten Island Zoo, like, do they have attitude? Or are they like, I want to go like what?
Like, yeah, they're like, what the fuck are you staring at?
Like, cause have you been here to the LA Zoo? Have you been to the LA Zoo here?
I haven't, and I live not far.
Takes close for like an hour, so that's for you.
Oh,
like,
yeah, not far from Griffith Park.
Yeah,
right?
So it's like that one's pretty quick. I mean, it's nice. I mean, but yeah, it's not big at all. It's kind of like you go around.
And there's a museum there too, right? I live right near there.
A museum?
Yeah, they're like the Native American Museum.
Oh, I don't know.
The American West Museum. Something about Frontier Museum. I don't know. Something about the Wild West.
It's right outside your door. Have you not been there, but you haven't learned exactly what it's called yet.
Next time I'm getting
map. Don't get out. I don't think it's like, well, I've been here for 20 years. Yeah. I haven't.
Next time I'm getting the mail, I'll check what the name of that museum is.
But it's also cool because I think during the holidays, they have like lights. So like at night, like you can like, there's like.
Oh,
lights,
yeah, that's right. Well, okay. So. So there's this thing where if you're a child or a very bored adult, you can drive along this path. I think it's called Crystal Spring Road, something like that.
Is this here?
Possibly Zoo Drive.
Here in LA.
Yeah, okay. But that's what you were talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's by the zoo. It's in the
zoo. Yeah, and you drive through and all these different, I think, companies, businesses, like they each have their own like light thing where they set up like Christmas lights and different make it nice. And you just sort of drive through with your family. You don't get out of the car. And one day I had an appointment, and normally that's the shortcut to get to Burbank. I went in the evening when that thing was happening, and I missed my appointment because it turns in from a shortcut into an all-night affair where you're just
a parade.
Slowly all the cars looking at the and it was by myself. It's like the type of thing that profoundly weird to be to go through that light thing by yourself.
That's funny. That's like, yeah, like
you can't even bail at that point, can you?
Yeah. No, you couldn't turn around. So I was like, so you had to call him like, sorry, I'm stuck in this parade. I'm gonna have to miss my appointment. And then when you're like, when you travel for your gigs, you know, like, as you say, you for work and stuff like that, do you have any, like, are you like superstitious, or are you like, do you have any sentimental things that you bring with you when you travel?
I'm not superstitious.
Really? As a hypochondriac, you're not? Because I'm half hypochondriac and I'm superstitious.
Yeah. No, because I like to believe my hypochondria is based in science.
Okay. You know,
like, right, okay.
That's why I'm half.
But the crazy thing is, as much as yes, I am a hypochondriac, but like I also, and the pandemic keeps, like I keep being reminded of the fact that I really don't understand germs. Like, for example, like if I have a Dorito and I drop it on this table and I pick it up real quick, like what is the risk? Like, are we talking, you know, like
pretty nil.
If there is a germ, like where would the, are there germs on here right now? How long do they last? If someone comes in and they're, you know, they wipe their nose and then put their hand on this table, right? And I come in here tomorrow and I like wipe a Dorito on that. Am I at risk?
Well,
maybe. Yeah, I think
at risk of excitement. I mean, Robin Williams and Pauly Shore were probably cutting cocaine on these puppies 20 years ago. So get yourself. You'll be like, wait, is that a virus? No, it's a residue. So
that's true. That's true. But actually, I mean, for me, it's like it changed with the whole pandemic because I didn't, like, now I cannot, if I'm going to put anything with my hands in my mouth, like I got to wash my hands. Like now I cannot, like before I didn't think about that, but now like I cannot do. And I'm still like, I cannot, like if there's Doritos and you're like, hey, let me have a Dorito. I'm like, or I have to grab a napkin. I cannot go now and not wash my hands and then eat something with my hands. I feel like.
Yeah. What if this, what if the whole pandemic is a big scam by like the moisturizer industry? They like invented this whole thing to sell moisturizer.
Well, now we're going to QAnon shit, man.
Here we go into conspiracy theories. Well, because I have to travel next week and I'm already tired of paying for these PCR tests because you gotta you have to get a, in order to, I'm traveling to Canada. So I have to get a PCR test, which is a couple hundred bucks.
We can go to the one that I went to. It's free.
And with your insurance. Or, sorry, coming back, it'll be a couple hundred bucks. It'll be covered on my insurance leaving.
Oh, okay.
But not
a couple
of back.
Hundred bucks? That's insane.
Yeah. So like your hand sanitizer theory and stuff, it starts to feel like, is this a scam to get us to buy? You know, like
I mean, I don't think it is. But
I don't think it is, but my mind is slowly opening to these things. Like, you know, the water, remember the old water conspiracy theory thing? Like, they're confiscating our water so that we'll have to buy water on the other side of security.
I don't remember that.
There was a lot
That. I thought you were talking about the LA water shortage situation.
No, I mean, when you go through airport security.
That's what Chinatown is about.
Oh, is it really?
The movie, Chinatown. Isn't that one of the themes? You're both looking at me.
I thought you were talking about like China, like LA Chinatown.
Yeah. The like, movie with Jack Nicholson.
Okay. Yeah, no, not the movie. I thought you were the actual, like right now, if you go there, like they stop you in the middle of the street. They're like, can't bring your water. I was like, because you're in Chinatown, you gotta buy it.
It's
like,
Chinatown,
which
baby.
I was like, well, like I was like, in a way, I kind of like, I was like, well, I can see that. Like they just stopped, like, no, sorry, you cannot bring your water, and then we'll sell you the water. I was like, all right, whatever. But that's what I thought. But I gotta now see this movie. Now.
It's about water. How have you not seen Chinatown? You haven't seen Chinatown?
Oh, not in like 20 years.
Okay, I also don't even know it well enough. I was hoping one of you would either correct me or agree with
me. See, we
had
our
Brian
producers.
I don't remember them being after Big Water, but
so the whole plot was about water?
No, it was about a woman who's her. I don't know. She's like. She was it's about incest, I think.
Okay, that's better.
Wait a sec. We went from water to like incest. I was like, what? Took a big turn.
Tracks.
I was like, wow, okay. Yeah, you cannot have water because you're fucking your brother.
Go back to the original point, I do understand these. Oh, sorry, were you going to say something about Chinatown?
No, your original point, the water conspiracy thing with the TSA. Yeah, I do think that, like, that for me is conspiracy light. Like, the whole thing, I mean, a guy, I chalk that up to, the fact that we all got to take off our shoes because one dude had a bomb in his shoe.
Yeah.
And we got, and like, all the stuff that we have to do, it seems kind of pointless. I think that. So there was like after 9/11, Oh my God, I'm talking 9/11 conspiracy. But I'm not. I'm not talking.
Chavez.
I don't mean conspiracy. Like, oh, it was an inside job and people planted dynamite in the buildings. That's not the conspiracy I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the post 9/11. All of the money that was made with security, with things like those special machines that scan your body, and
well, I don't know if you've seen that show, Adam Conover, what's his name? Adam Ruins Everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they had like one about like TSA, where like he, you know, because that show's about,
it's pointless,
and he's like, yeah, this is, it doesn't matter. Like, it's all for show.
Yeah.
Like anybody. And I travel so much, and I go, sometimes I'm going like, they didn't check. I mean, I'm like, what is this? Yeah, like, I mean, anybody can just walk in.
It's so random, the shoe thing. Come on.
And I lost my hair gel. I've been traveling with the same hair gel for at least like 4 months, and it just got confiscated the other day in like Philadelphia or whatever. Mm. The lady's like, this is too big. And I'm like, I've been traveling with this. You're the first one.
Yeah.
You're too small, lady.
Yeah, she's the terrorist. She's terrorizing you.
Yeah.
Just randomly taking
everybody
a man's
else.
Hair gel.
Yeah, everybody
it's
else
traumatic.
It through, so
yeah,
it's
I
very...
mean, like the random ones, the random things were like the beeps, and then it's like, sorry, you got randomly selected. It's
what I was going to say is that I think that after 9/11, if they had done nothing else other than just lock the fucking door to the cockpit, which they started doing.
That was never locked before?
No. Or maybe it was supposed to be, but they didn't. But that was one of the rules that they put into place. And now when the pilots eat or something, don't they take the food cart and put it in front of the door?
So they're not like blocking.
That's a post 9/11 thing, I think. Oh, and they lock those doors so you can't get in there and fly a plane and use the plane as a weapon. I mean, you go back to the olden days of, you know, an occasional plane bombing. I think in terms of, like, reaction to 9/11 for traveling, the difference in, like, safety between just locking the plane to the cockpit and making everybody take their fucking shoes off, the one is, like, a million
of
times,
course. Yeah.
Like, more makes mm-hmm. more sense.
Yeah.
A million times makes more sense.
it does a million times make more sense.
You know what million times makes more sense?
Well, but I mean, that is true. I mean, I like, but it's like, I think it's funny because like the things that, you said, like now, like that was such a normal or like smart idea to do and they weren't doing it even before. But like, people used to smoke on planes. Like that's, like they actually had like, in the back, you can smoke, which is like, we're in a fucking whole cabin. I mean, I remember when I was little growing, like, people were smoking. Like, that's ridiculous.
Oh, I feel like the entire world must have smelled like cigarettes before 1999. Like, and nobody knew any different. Like, it was just a natural smell of every building and every room.
And then when you're in a plane, are you, like, thinking, I mean, do you have thoughts of like, okay, when if it's going down, who am I gonna like survival mode? Like, am I gonna, you know?
No.
Or are you like suspicious? Like, this person's looking weird. Like,
I was around 9/11.
Okay.
Now I was on a trip, on a giant one of those giant planes with the stairs.
Oh, with two floors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there was there was like a bar in the plane where people are just standing around. And
nice.
I was talking to a guy that was an engineer. He was on the plane because he worked for the plane company.
Okay.
I forget which one.
TSA.
He was an engineer. He was going on the plane to go repair another plane. He was like a plane engineer.
I meant TSA, not that. What was the one that was... the airline that was called T something? TWA.
Oh, TWA.
Sorry, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. I was asking him questions about, like, what's the likelihood of us going down? What turbulence? How scared should I be?
Those must be fun questions we're going to answer mid-flight.
Yeah. But he actually made me feel a lot better. He was saying that these days... the wings on the planes are constructed out of materials and engineered in a way where they can bend way more than they really would ever need to. So got like that's the it would be unheard of for like a wing on a plane to break. And he was like, I forget the analogy. I think it was like a stick in a stream or something like that. Mm-hmm. He was like, turbulence, like the plane is built to deal with turbulence. Turbulence isn't going, you're right. not going to, planes don't crash from turbulence.
Yeah.
If it crashes, it would be from something else. But what he did say, which was kind of frightening, was that, he was like, the turbulence, like you buckle your seatbelt and you're fine. But there are things, these like pockets of non-atmosphere where there's like, and the plane will just out of the blue and you're not even in turbulence. Like occasionally a plane will just lose altitude.
Got it.
And
if you're not sitting down, that's where you can get hit your head.
Yeah, and he was like, that's why you should always wear your seatbelt.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, because it won't just happen during turbulence. And those unexpected drops are where people get really hurt.
Nah, yeah.
Oh, right.
I think I've heard of that. That's why, yeah.
I thought you were going to say the classic of like when you were asking this engineer about the flight. Because I got the weirdest answer at one time. I was young at the time. But I remember asking when I just started flying on planes and stuff. I was probably 17 or whatever. And I was asking an engineer. I was like, what is it if we're going to crash? Or why do we have to put our heads down like this? And then he just looked at me and he coldly went, don't worry. If we're going to crash, the air pressure is going to drop so fast, you'll be unconscious anyway. And he just left. And I was like, oh,
how
fuck.
Old were you?
And I was about 17. Oh, my God. I was like, I've never asked anybody anything else about a plane ever again. And never.
But I like that. You want to be unconscious.
Yes, you would. Yes. I mean, good job.
If
you're going to die, you just want to be dead. Yeah. You don't want to be seeing it. Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever traveled internationally?
Along the same lines, my girlfriend, what do you guys think? I'm just putting it because you just reminded me. I have ongoing debate with my girlfriend. I would rather burn to death than drown to death. And I'll
burn.
Tell you.
Yes. Are you
crazy? Because I feel like if you're burning to death, it would have to be like a bit engulfed in flames, I'm talking.
Are you thinking you'd pass out?
Is that your nerves would just be burned off and you wouldn't feel anything. Just take like a... No?
No, I mean, it takes... it's like cooking like a piece of chicken. Like, it's going to be like... It's going to take like 5 minutes of complete...
Well, no, you're not on low temperature. Yeah, you're not going to cook
like
chicken.
Yeah, I'm not talking about simmering on a nice olive oil.
Do you think what you think of yourself?
I mean, what kind of...
He's talking about inferno.
Yeah, but it takes a while to get to that.
I think if you're in a fiery ball...
But like, how would you ever be in that? I'm talking about like in real situation, like...
I don't know. Someone kicks open my door and shoots me with a flamethrower.
Yeah, no, you're basically.
I think you still suffer. You don't die like that. You're still gonna suffer for like. You're still gonna feel it.
Burned at the stake. Someone used to burn people at the stake.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You're gonna.
How long
feel
are
it.
You burning before your nerves?
Yeah,
are
that's 10
just,
minutes at least.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
No
yeah,
way.
Yeah,
I don't.
You're
think,
not. Man, this is where we need Brian to look at this.
Yeah, since he's been having this argument with his lady friend.
Because I'm agree with your girlfriend.
We've been arguing. I haven't Googled anything. Yeah.
Does your girlfriend see drowning?
Which is the best thing for an argument.
She thinks drowning.
Yeah,
I would do drowning.
Yeah, I would do drowning too.
See, I don't ever want to have water fill up my lungs. That sounds terrible.
Right. I mean,
this is very interesting. I would,
I would do
I'm
drowning
really
for
guess.
Sure because I'm like... Yeah, I mean, like...
See, but this goes back... Even... Okay, but here's the thing. By the time... Okay, your brain without oxygen dying is going to take longer than your nerves being burnt to a crisp and not being able to feel anything. That's my
point. No, I think you suffer more. I mean, and let's talk about like how movies and TVs, why do they show more people always drowning? Because it's more of a better death than burning. Like it's always the people... like even Titanic.
Yeah, because it's cinematically prettier.
But it's because it's also less soft. It's like
he makes
burning,
an interesting argument.
Burning somebody is like that's more to me. That's more painful. That's more like you want to suffer more. Like if you're gonna make somebody suffer, like burn them. You know, I feel so.
Yeah, but that's, again, you're thinking about torturing. You're thinking about torturing and cooking chicken. Okay, look, I'm going to guess that you're in the minority in this, in that opinion.
But I feel like...
you make a good argument because, yeah, if you lose... Because, I mean, maybe that's why you see those, is it Tibetan monks or whatever when they... You know, on the cover of Rage Against the Machine's album when he's burning himself in protest or whatever and sitting there.
Yeah.
He's long since lost.
You never see people protesting by drowning themselves. No. It's always burning themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Bigger, more of a show, isn't it? You see, put a show on to get everybody's attention.
Now I put what hurts more, drowning or burning to death, and then the first thing I got is like suicide prevention. Like, Google thinks I'm trying to kill myself.
I want to kill myself in the most painful way possible.
What's going on? Are you putting it out there? Did you find something? Oh, okay, he found something.
Oh, he's found it. Oh, we haven't done this before. Kevin,
cool. Great.
You're going to help us break our... This is our screen virginity.
Nice.
Of, like, if this is going to happen, if
this
we get
all of
a
sudden... This is the cleanest desktop, I think.
Yeah, right. I never... Yeah, this is... So what are you going to... Are you going to show us, like, a video or, like, a... And they'll show us a video.
He's just going to show us people burning alive.
It turns into a snuff podcast.
Well, it's also like, yeah, no, I a million times better. I mean, both are bad. I mean, both of you are suffering.
I don't want to do either.
Yeah, me neither. I don't want
to.
Yeah.
Looking to. If you have I'm not to, looking yeah. for. Refer, for
I'm not trying to decide.
You know,
which to do.
I would, yeah, I mean, like, because I also, like, I feel, too, like, I have experience with, like, drowning because I've, you know, I surf a little bit and stuff like that. So, I've, you know, when I've, you know, so, like.
You've.
Not drowned, but, like, almost, like, the feeling of, like.
Been caught
that
for air.
When you get caught and you're trying to get up and, you know, because it, you know why you drown? You drown, I mean, it's because you're panicking. That's why you drown. Because you're trying to, and. The sea, the ocean is always going to win. So every time if you're surfing or whatever, a wave cuts you, you literally got to let it do whatever they wanted to you.
Yes.
You die because you go, you know, but like, and I've done that when I was little and I've done that. And it's like, and it's that feeling of like, oh my God, I'm going to almost die, you know, and you panic.
Holy cow. Look at that, buddy. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you up, but look at that. I'll read this for everybody. While your body may not fully die, this is burning. While your body may not fully die for some time, your brain will be able to tell within 20 to 30 seconds that death is imminent, and you will black out after a few seconds.
But your brain will not decide. But again, this doesn't.
So drowning sounds like it takes longer and is more painful, regrettable. I mean, they're both regrettable.
But I think they're talking, well, it says even in the bottom one, it says there were experiments done which shows that 240 seconds is what it takes to suffer acute. Well, that's because you're, but you're drowning too. You're not even burning.
Lungs are too badly, this is so morbid. Oh my God.
I know,
God.
This is, we've taken,
lungs
we've taken.
Your lungs are, I wasn't even thinking about your lungs are burning. Oh, so you're terrible. Why did I even bring this up?
Yeah, so you're also drowning in the smoke. So you're both drowning. It's both drowning. Yeah. I mean, because you're not even burning because of
All right, okay, you make a good point.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
We don't advise either.
Stand by
a podcast, we're not a...
How long does it take to die in a fire? Can you click on that one?
But not your kind of fire. Not your cooking a chicken breast fire, which I still love.
That's what I'm
gonna
saying. I don't know
always.
What fire
it's
was.
It's like cooking a chicken breast. I can go over and put your hand on a skillet. Go, this will take forever to burn me, alive.
Well, I mean, I would choose. Yeah, definitely. If there's a choice, drowning. For sure.
I would just want end of Sopranos. Just turn that light off. Just boom.
Well, of course.
Out.
I mean, the best thing would be to just like go to sleep.
I can't believe you just spoiled the end of Sopranos.
That was what I did. I just turned it off. Done. Dead to me. Didn't even watch the end. That fucking song came on. What? Just a hometown boy. And I was like, done. Sick of it already.
Yeah. So actually, it takes longer to die when you're drowning, though.
What did it say?
Yeah.
It takes 3 to 5 minutes. If a person submerged after breathing or 46.
All right, I'm back. I'm back.
Yeah.
Fire.
Under a minute, because you cannot breathe because of the carbon monoxide.
But
then
you
still burn.
You know what? The other thing is, they were talking about And then I swear we'll get back to travel.
I mean, we're talking about everything.
I love it. We should do a jump cut of guests going, we'll get back. We'll get back to the traveling in a second.
They're just talking about death from fire. I'm saying not the death, but the pain. My theory is that, you know, you if your whole body is engulfed in flames, your nerve endings, which are close to your skin, I think, they get burned off and they no longer work and you can't feel anything.
Yeah, I think
there might even be a moment while you're completely engulfed in flames where you're like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah, you get this little euphoric bit before your brain, as they said, knows death is imminent and just, you know, floods you with adrenaline or whatever, and boom, and you're out.
This person says it's actually better it's worse to be burned to death than to be drowned.
Only over 20% of his body.
Yeah, but that was bad enough. And he says, like, there's no comparison. You know, like when you start.
Okay, well, wait a minute. That was anecdotal, though. So anybody who's been in a, you know, like if you've been shot, you'd probably say, oh, it's better to be choked or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's purely anecdotal.
You see, if you burn to death, God help you to make sure it's quick. You know, burning is horrible. It's far worse when I was burned. You know, so it's like. The thing is, like, I think it's harder for you to burn to death than to drown. You know, so, like, it takes, like, 20 to 30 minutes.
I can't. There are a multitude of ways. I've thought about many ways.
I'm talking about, like, cooking food, you know? Like, it takes a while for something to get done.
Yeah, but again, the food
when you drown somebody,
that's not
like,
the kind of inferno we're talking about. That's like, you know, that's like saying, like, you put broccoli
in
water.
Like, it takes a long time to cook a steak, but it doesn't take a long time to blacken a steak. Wait, is that when you take it and you just...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about this anymore.
I think you've won. I think you've won the argument with that. I think when it said 20 to 30 seconds before your brain shuts off, I'm all for... I award... On our new podcast here, and on our new podcast, which is the worst way to die, I award the point to Kevin Sussman. Francisco, it was a good attempt.
Well, this is a good thing. Yeah, we can actually, after, when it comes out, we can let people also vote and see what they prefer, or hopefully they can let us know, like somebody be like, hey, I almost died drowning, but I felt bad. I don't know.
Now, we're not joined by our producer this week, so boys in the booth, how are we going?
Yeah,
5 minutes? What? Oh, okay. Hold. Wait. What? All right. Bro, we've gone well over time.
Oh, yeah.
It must have been all the discussions of death.
Yes.
I can't read what that said.
106. So we have that.
Holy shit. Yeah, yeah. All right. So,
We're drowning in our own
conspiracy. Final question that I usually ask.
Well, I have one little quick question.
You can go ahead.
I have one quick question because I wanted to ask before we went into this. It's like, have you also traveled internationally? And is there any places that you're like, that you really like and that you recommend? And also, like, any customs that you'd be like, I wish they would do this here in the U.S. or, like, you know, kind of thing, or, like, or food.
I recently went back to Paris, which is one of my favorite places. I'd love it for the similar reasons why I like it more than New York. I like it for the... almost the same reasons that I like New York.
Mm-hmm.
I like being in a densely populated metropolis. I love architecture, and Paris is amazing.
Yeah.
And there are more spots in the city where you can, like, see the whole city. Because I think, I don't know if they still do, but for a long time they had zoning laws. Like, there's nowhere in Paris where you could build that would obstruct the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
And it has all that culture. You walk down sir, there are not everywhere in Paris, but a lot of beautiful, gorgeous areas in Paris where you walk down the block and there's just shops selling like prints and poetry. Mm-hmm. And
I'm
not going to read any of the poetry. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. Look at that. People go in there, buy poetry. It's beautiful.
Right.
Paris is great. I was there I remember actually I felt like a... walking around, I felt like homeless because of the way that I was dressed. Because everybody dresses so well, and I was like, "Oh my god!" Like I had like a jacket, like I was like,
"Did you have a cap?"
Yeah.
Did you realize how American the ball cap is? You don't until you travel and you're like, oh,
I was recently in Rome right now. I went to Italy like 2 months ago and like, it was so easy to spot the Americans because it was like, I was like,
it's a baseball cap.
It's a baseball cap, or they have one guy wearing like a Buffalo Bills shirt, like a sweater. I'm like, obviously he's American, you know.
And yeah, that's unfortunately, true. Americans wear their sports jerseys when the team's not playing, don't they? Every other culture is like, you know, football or whatever, they'll wear it to the match. We're wearing it. But yeah, only in America, I'm wearing my good Bills jersey. Yeah, yeah. I'm wearing, going out with the missus tonight.
My church jersey.
My church jersey. Yeah.
Yeah. But sorry, and I cut you off. Is there any customs or traditions or food that you'd be like, oh man, I wish they would do this here in the U.S.?
You know, I and this is why when you asked me to be on this podcast, I was like, oh, shit, because I'm a bad traveler in terms of, you know, when I go away for work, like I have to force myself to leave my hotel room.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the same way.
So like I know, and I have gone to a bunch of different countries, and there's always someone who's like, oh, you have to try the local. And I'm just, even here in LA, like I'm not like a foodie. I don't know where to eat here, let alone in Italy. So what was the question?
You want to explain it better? Maybe I didn't explain it better.
Well, no, I mean, that's a pretty good explanation, but I guess we could sum up now that we're on the food tip. Is there a food or a dish or something that you've liked in other cultures?
Tradition, like, it's like, oh, they opened the door here.
Weird stuff. There's nothing that, like, I remember enough to be like, oh, you have to go
I wish we had these in America.
Because
here in L.A., as you probably noticed, like, because I have it amongst my circle of friends, a lot of them, if they're from Australia or whatever, they have those shops that have all their Australian goods. So they can get
pie.
Meat pie. Like we had Reese Darby on a couple weeks ago, and he's like, the meat pie, the New Zealand meat pie, and, you know, he loves having that here. So I guess in that sense, you know, when you discover a food, but as you've said, you've never been that big on something that you're like, ooh, I wish it was in America.
I'm not a cuisine person. Well, yeah. One thing I was thinking, because I did recently come back from Paris, and it's not a food thing, but it's one thing that I did, like, enjoy. Take note of, that I was like, why don't we have that here, mm-hmm. is when you pay, you can just take your credit card, and that little, like, and hologram little thing on the credit card, you just hold the credit card over the thing, and it's like Apple Pay, but on the credit card itself.
Yeah.
And it's like, why don't, is that just... Do they have that in other places of the country and just not in L.A. or what?
Yeah, I thought, don't they have it now? They have it now, don't they? You can tap.
That little...
You can do that here?
That little tap?
Yeah,
now it works.
On the credit card?
You can
tap your credit card?
You can do it now, yeah.
I guess I just never tried.
So it is here, yeah. No, it's just because you haven't been out of your place for a while. Yeah. It's a pandemic thought.
Yeah, so I just haven't been doing it.
Kev, the world has changed, buddy.
Are you still writing checks?
The world has changed while you've been in there. That is so great.
That's why he was talking so much about 9/11. He's still in 2001.
Kev, you made the suggestion, and it's happened. You're the first guest to come on.
I want to go buy something and use that.
It
won't work.
I thought you were talking about the little machine.
Along the same lines, why is it that during a global pandemic, they still make us sign the thing on the credit card machine?
Yeah.
How is that?
With your finger.
Why do we have to take off our shoes, but during a global pandemic, you have to pick up the pen that everyone else that came in the store has touched?
And also,
well, that's why you have the little things that you tap now.
Also, why that friggin' pen, the exact pen that you're talking about, it's usually attached by a cord or whatever. Why do they lay it back down? There's a little hole there so you can stick it in.
Yeah.
So you can minimalize your contact with the pen. But nobody ever... It's always, I always got to pry it out of that little crevice. Pry it out of the crevice with whatever comes with it. Then I do it. Then I set a good example, and I stick it in the hole. And then I look back two customers later, and it's back fucking lying in the fucking creamy grotty
two
thing.
Customers later, you're like hiding on the don't leave the store. You just hide out
I feel that adamant about pen etiquette in the shop and that it needs to go in that fucking hole that I stay to watch until somebody breaks my heart.
But there's also like places now that they have like the clean pen or the dirty pen. Have you seen that?
Where I have. I like that.
I like that because I feel
but that should be a thing in every store.
I always feel like the dirty pen. Someone's like, you little dirty pen. They're like just pervert pens.
I think the theme from today's show is that we're all a bit lonely. You're dirty talking to pens.
No, because it's funny. Like the pen is like you write, like you grab the dirty pen, and it just makes you write dirty shit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a bit. I don't know. I'm trying.
Yeah, it might be. It might be, especially the way you say it. Yeah. But your eyes got a bit smoky pen. There when you started talking about the dirty pen, Kev. Kevin Sussman, you've been an amazing guest, man. You've been an amazing guest. I mean, this extra time has just fucking flown by.
Yeah, it flew
and
by.
A lot of firsts for us. This is the first time we got the screen out.
That's
a first.
Amazing.
And we debated death. This is the first time we've ever debated styles of death.
It's just good.
Kev, you've been a killer. We have one final question that we always like to ask our guests on the way out the door. Sorry,
but before, where do people can find you, like in social media, before you answer this question?
Yeah.
Are you?
My Twitter is different than my Instagram, and I never remember which is which. So, Twitter is at Kevin Sussman.
Okay.
Oddly enough.
Yes.
And Instagram, which is just Kev Sussman.
Kev Sussman.
S-U-S-S-M-A-N.
Okay, and then watching the new Hulu show that's
dropping.
It's not out yet. Yeah, it's
going to
come next
right?
year.
Yeah.
And then something else that I just shot.
What was the name of it again?
The other thing. This is so.
I want to get to this point, by the way, where I'm going, I shot something.
I'm making lots of stuff.
I want to get to this point. Much, but I had to sign a non-disclosure for this other thing. I don't even know what that entails. Like, am I even allowed to? Is my
to say that
saying that I'm in it giving something away? I actually don't know what.
But
the
you don't
rules
even
are.
You didn't even say you didn't say what it was, so we don't even know. What
you
you're...
just said it was a thing on Hulu, so you're good to
no,
go.
No, the Hulu thing is the.
So you haven't even mentioned
That I'm in official an official capacity.
Ladies and gentlemen at home, look up Kevin Sussman, follow him on the interwebs. You guys will love. I mean, you've loved everything that he's been in the past, haven't you, motherfuckers? So you're gonna love his new projects are coming out next year that he's not allowed to talk about yet because that's what an NDA is. So we've all done them. Have you ever broken an NDA and I just hope that it slides by? And I've done that before. I've let a couple of leaks out there and then just sat there for the rest of the interview going, oh fuck me.
No.
And then luckily that phone doesn't ring.
I haven't booked the NDA. That's like I never had to even broke
it. It's coming. I'm sure it's in the post, buddy. So, Kevin Sussman, we like to ask one final question of our guests when we have them on, and it is just this. Do you have one piece of travel advice that you love handing on to people?
Well, I mean, my main thing above that towers above everything else, I'm sure you guys have covered a lot on the show, but it's that the global ID, the global,
global entry.
That thing, the global entry thing is that, I mean,
that's great.
When I go to the airport, and I see everyone waiting on this long line, and there you just go right up, and you don't have to take off your shoes for the most part, and all that other stuff. And it costs like $100
for
and
like
it lasts
5 years.
For like 5 years. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm getting away with something. That is by far the best.
Hugely convenient. And can I just say, so I'm in the middle of applying for it right now.
For the global entry?
Yeah, which is called Nexus because I'm Canadian.
Yeah.
And it's been very difficult for me because I'm on work visas to work in America. So anyway, that's a whole lot of shit. But I will say right now, if you do it right now, it can be I'm told it can be easier because they could do video interviews instead of getting
that's how I did
places.
It. That's how I
did
I,
you? All right, so.
For I had to renew my passport to go to Italy, and I did the thing, and I did it in a video Zoom call there. Like, the lady was like, she was asking me in 5 minutes, which is so easy.
Right.
Because I thought I had to go to LAX and do the interview
there. What I did was I had to go on a trip somewhere, And so just I packed with me whatever the requirements were, like proof of your address or whatever. And then on my way back, you know, from the trip, like, you know, you get your baggage and then you go to the little office where you can apply for it.
Yeah.
Right. No, I didn't. And that's also, it was pretty painless.
Yeah, it's very easy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I understand if you don't travel that much, but like, I mean, if
you travel
at least like twice a year, I mean, like, it's worth it. I mean, like,
well worth it.
And I even now use Clear. I don't know if you ever had Clear too, because Clear has helped me as well too. Because you combine Clear with the TSA, and with Clear, like, you just jump. You don't even have, they just make you go to the first of the line. So even if there's like a big thing,
I thought Clear was this. Oh, Clear is in. Clear gives, because it would. I didn't realize that. I thought they were.
No, you use them both.
Basically the same.
So like Clear. If Clear is like, you can have Clear without the TSA, but then TSA pre. But if you combine both, then it's like if there's a big line for TSA, but you're still rushing, the Clear will pass you all the way to the front.
So how much is that?
That's I think it's 150 or 170 a year or something.
Yeah.
Like that. So that I use it too. Well, I mean, I use all. Like I said, I want to get it, easy as possible, quickly as possible. So whatever works, I like it.
That's good. That's good. I got a good tip.
Yeah.
This podcast where it. Yeah, was a you're success. Now.
You can use Clear and be drowned to death. Choose to
get out there and start tapping. Tapping that card.
And
buddy.
Then use that. Just. Right now, go to your app and order a new card. You've been having the same card since 1999.
It's good. You came in here knowing so little about the world. You're leaving a changed man. Kevin Sussman, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks. Buddy, you were an amazing guest. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.